All right, we're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our daily Major League Baseball podcast for Thursday, August 4th. I'm Doug Norrie. I'm on the line with Austin Varney to talk a little baseball. Austin, how's it going?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, Austin emailed me this morning wondering if this was the worst pitching slate we've seen, definitely for the evening, which we'll get into in a little bit. I think it's probably an affirmative on that. But if this is your first time with us, we're from DFSR.com, DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, here to help you make lineups for Major League Baseball, FanDuel, and DraftKings. We have a bunch of free content that goes up on our site every day where you can read breakdowns of players, breakdowns of teams, strategy, and then you can also grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by our good friends at Lineup Lab that'll help you one-button click optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, everything you need to get started over there. Free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. And if you want some success stories or just you want some proof in the pudding stuff, head over to the site. We have a live chat room going 24/7 with people talking baseball. You just go in there, you ask the people over there, hey, is this worth it? And they'll give you their honest answers. And I don't know, you're good to go. So Austin and I were talking a little bit off the air about this day of pitching, this sort of how the double slate breaks down. If we have two, we have sort of split slate early afternoon, evening. Austin, if you just had to pick off the top of your head, which one is the better one? Where do you think you're going to gravitate to today?
For pitching, it's definitely the early slate, but I think the late slate is kind of interesting hitting-wise of where everyone's going to go in ownership type of thing because there are a lot of teams in good spots. But in the early slate, I do like the pitching a lot more.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt about it too. I'm trending toward this early slate in general anyway. It just seems like the value is concentrated, but we'll get into it. We'll talk about how things break down. We'll make sure and don't let me. Oh, are they on the early slate? Yeah. Oh, good. We'll start here. We have Minnesota and Cleveland. I don't know if you've been how much you've been playing the last couple days, but the big story, at least in our chat room, and I guess it's over the industry. I'm not maybe as in tune to that as I should be, but has been what the Twins have done to Cleveland pitching over the last couple days. Have you seen this?
Yeah, it was pretty annoying with Salazar and Carrasco.
Yeah, I took a huge bloodbath with those two guys, and then the system yesterday, right up until maybe an hour before lock, was showing Trevor Bauer in our optimal lineups, and I was really thinking, I was like, man, maybe this is the turnaround. The Vegas is suggesting Cleveland pitching gets it done tonight. And then did a little deeper dive in the projection, and it sort of switched at the last second, and it pivoted to Cueto, and thank God it did, because I was really doing, like, James is the other co-owner of DFSR, we were kind of texting each other, just being like, just big old sighs of relief that it moved from Cueto, because Bauer, what did he do, like, two innings, like, eight runs? His line was so
bad. Yeah, I think so. I don't think he made it out of the third.
It was horrible. The Twins are on fire. And then I know that this is not usually how we start. Usually we kind of break down pitchers and whatnot. But I want to ask you a question. Do you think that Vegas is not sure how to evaluate, and Vegas meaning, the book / bettors in general, are not able to evaluate the Twins properly? Or do you think that they have just been sort of like super lucky of late? Because if you look, Mike Clevinger is pitching for the Indians today. Mike Clevinger is not Danny Salazar, who was hurt, obviously Carlos Carrasco, or even Trevor Bauer. And yet the Indians start at -145 with the Twins run line. I have met like 3.98, so basically four. What's going on here? Like who's wrong basically?
I think it must be somewhere in the middle. I think the Twins are better than they say. Sano, Kepler, Mauer, Dozier, all these guys can hit. But then you look at the bottom of the lineup and you see Kurt Suzuki, you see Jorge Polanco, Danny Santana, Rosario, they're okay. But I think it's somewhere in the middle. I don't think they keep hitting like this, obviously. But I also don't think that they're what Vegas thinks in a completely pitiful team.
I was actually impressed of how disdainfully you said Kurt Suzuki. As if like you actually physically like you went to high school with these guys and you hated their guts, or something. I just don't know. I'm just confused. I was to the point where I was like, oh, maybe Clevinger isn't pitching today. Maybe it's somebody good. I don't know. It's just not. So it's just the whole thing just strikes me as very weird. The -145 thing isn't weird to me because the Indians are a better team. So it's not so much the fact that the Indians are favored. It's just more the run line on the Twins. Like, they've been in the high threes projected, and they've been crushing that over the last couple of days. It doesn't tick up at all. So I don't know. This is sort of where I want to ride the Vegas train and say maybe it is just closer. They're closer to this than they have been. A team could be hot for a couple of days, right? It doesn't. Yeah. It can just happen. Baseball is a long season. So anyway, that's just my Twins thought. This is getting into the weird zone for me because I just don't really know how to properly evaluate it. All right, let's talk a little bit. We have an early slate of games that starts at noon or 12:10. I'm encouraged because all five of the games are either at noon or at 1, so we'll have all the lineups well in advance to be able to make good decisions. Five games on tap. Where are we looking at pitching? How can we start off with pitching here? Is there anything safe?
I don't know if I would use the word safe, but I think they're – I mean, looking at the late slate, it looks like Kershaw and Cueto are going. So – I think Smiley is probably my favorite option, one of the reasons being the Vegas run line, the Royals are the lowest, the other being the ballpark, and just this Royals lineup is just so bad. He has the advantage against Hosmer, the actual advantage against Perez, who's been a lot worse against lefties over the past couple years. And I just think Smiley's probably going to be the guy that gets six innings, six strikeouts, and give up two runs and get a win.
Yeah, the Royals are definitely a different team. I mean, the Odorizzi shut them down last night. He was a system guy. He was like in the second overall lineup on FanDuel, and was, I think, he ended up actually being the chalky play on FanDuel. He and Cueto were sort of ownership levels around the same. But you're right. This Royals lineup is rough. Escobar, Cuthbert. I guess Kane's better against lefties, so he's a little bit of a problem. But then Alex Gordon, Paulo Orlando,
Hosmer.
Yeah, right. I think this is the one where I think the run line is probably correct. They just don't have anything that can scare you. Plus, you get the added benefit of the ballpark in Tampa Bay, which is one of the best pitchers' parks in baseball. So, yeah, I think I'm with you on Smiley there. So what do you believe, the 5.29 ERA or the 4.22 xFIP? The 4.22 xFIP is not fantastic by any means, but what kind of pitcher do you think he actually is?
I actually think he's better than both of those.
Yeah,
I think this year he's just, I don't know, something's off. Because what I've seen with him over the past couple of years is it looked like he was steadily improving into an ace. Mm-hmm. And then this year he's just kind of been really mediocre. So maybe he doesn't come this year, but I think he's actually a really good pitcher.
Well, right, because I stare at K through 9 and walk through 9 and a lot of these numbers just a lot. So usually I can tell when I look at some of these numbers what the xFIP is going to be, but his is higher than I would suspect when you have, he strikes out a batter per 9. The walks aren't terrible, 2.4. It's not great, but that's not, Lance McCullers 5 per 9 or something like that. His biggest issue this year by far has been a left on base percentage. He's getting just destroyed pitching out of the stretch. Could be bad luck. It's 65%. So if you don't know that number, that means 35% of the runners that reach base on him score. That's really, really bad. It's really hard.
Especially for a lefty.
Right. Oh, right. Good point, because it's easier for him to hold runners on. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
So that 65% strikes me as very unlucky. His career number is more like 75%. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm with you. I keep waiting for him to just be sort of dominant, but he just runs into what he really does is runs into really bad innings. And that makes sense, right? You run into bad innings when you can't keep a guy on base. So home runs are a little bit of an issue, but I think overall – he probably ends up being the cash game play only because of what you said, the run line and the Royals team. Now, if you didn't want to go him, is there anybody else? Kennedy, Matt Moore, Zimmerman, Velasquez, Jose Quintana. I know there are guys around our way. Love Jose Quintana. Jose Quintana overall, not necessarily in this matchup. Is there any one of those guys that strikes you as 1A to Smiley, or maybe on DraftKings as a starting pitcher too?
Yeah, I think it's probably a B, but it's Matt Moore, and it really comes down to just the Phillies and how bad they are against lefties. The absolute worst wOBA in the league against lefties. Strike out a ton. The ballpark is good for hitters, but, I mean, who's really going to hit it out? Maybe Cameron Rupp and Tommy Joseph if they can get one lucky swing. I think Moore has locked down probably 6 or 7 strikeouts in this matchup, and I don't really like him in cash games because I'm probably going to be just playing Smiley with that. In cash games, but in tournaments, I really like more.
Yeah, I would be concerned about going to DraftKings today just because I don't love having to roster. I don't want to really roster more at all, even though and you're just forced to roster that second pitcher on DraftKings. So that might make it a stay away for me, although I love the bats on the slate a lot. So I'm going to be It's going to be interesting. I'll have to sort of figure this out. Moore is just kind of a dude. You know, I don't really – there's nothing to really get excited about. The K's are 7.5. I don't know. The XFIP is 4.6 this year, and that's when he's been pitching. He had a pitch in the AL East, so I guess that's a little different than what he's moving to now. But he also pitches he was pitching in a much better park, so I don't know if that mitigates some of it, and the truth ends up being in the middle. The Phillies, you know, they can do a little bit of damage here and there. They got to Cueto late last night, although San Francisco left Cueto in too long, I think. Yes. He was at like 108 pitches, and they had a mound visit and then kept him going, and then of course they blew the lead. But yeah, I don't know. It doesn't really excite me, but for DraftKings you have to roster that second guy. So what are you going to do? After those two guys, can you, of those other pitchers I mentioned, is there anyone with let's forget cash games. If we're going to look at tournament play with some upside, does any of these guys have that?
I guess Santiago has upside. I'm not playing him. He has strikeout upside though. If he is pounding the zone, I don't really mind it. I think I played him once this year. I believe it was against the Twins. And he had a decent game. So I don't mind him. But, I mean, he can easily go three innings, give up six runs, walk four people, and strike out two. So
yeah, he's a guy that I always want to play against. I think he's bad. But then he'll just turn in these strikeout games that just confuse me. But he's not – I know I put you on the spot because you don't – yeah. Just these guys.
I would just rather roster him than, I don't know, Mike Leake.
I think actually
they're so bad.
I would go probably Ian Kennedy here only because the Rays K a ton, 24% against righties this year. Kennedy does have strikeout stuff. He's striking out more than a batter per nine. He's actually pretty similar to Drew Smyly in terms of numbers. They have about the same K rate, about the same walk rate, about the same XFIP. So Kennedy's been better about keeping runners on base, but overall the rest of their numbers are really right in line. His problem is he's going to struggle to get the win because the Royals are so bad. But yep. I think in terms of just maybe off-boardish upside, he has it if he can just start getting into that righty-heavy Rays lineup that does strike out, that will strike out a lot. Like their team did not change too much of the trade deadline. What you see is what you get with them. I don't mind throwing Kennedy in a tournament. I think he has the upside. Of the guys in that middle tier, he has that kind of upside. But it's not safe by any means.
Yep,
let's go through some of the bats. I don't think we need to break down each position here for the early slate. And probably actually don't even need to do it for the late slate either. But where are we looking in terms of the offense today? Before you get that, I'll just say this. The run lines on some of these teams, Cleveland's right around 5. Cardinals are right around 5. And then it's kind of a drop-off to the next closest teams. You know, you have Detroit against Quintana at 4.5. Hard to totally trust that. So where are we gonna look in terms of offense if we're building some of those cash games?
The Cardinals are far and away my favorite. Like, they're probably in my favorite spot of the year for the Cardinals. Brandon Finnegan is atrocious. He's given up 21 home runs in 89 innings to righties, which is the only guy worse than Wei-Yin Chen. And when you're worse than Wei-Yin Chen at giving up home runs to righties, it's not good.
Time to hang it up, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, the Cardinals are injured, but the lefties are the guys really who are injured.
Right.
So I really like the lineup. You know, if Carpenter was in here and Adams was in here, I'd actually like it less because I like Pham and Jerko and Holiday and Piscotty kind of leading this off. A couple guys are going to hit home runs, and I'm hopefully going to have them because I'm going to be all over the Cardinals.
I think you're totally fine. Just Ross, assuming that their lineup is the same as last night when they faced the lefty Reed, which I think it will be, and they went Pham, Jerko, Piscotty, Holiday, and then I think Moss. But and then maybe Peralta. I can't remember which one of those guys was first.
That's okay. Perfect.
So I have no issue of just actually just, at least on FanDuel, just rostering 1 through 4 in cash games. And because I just think there's so much safety there. Jericho's especially much, much better against lefties. Pham is kind of unknown, but I'm willing to take the price hitting leadoff just because that leadoff position is so, it's just so powerful to have that kind of plate appearance expectation. I think actually, at least Jerko is definitely going to be a chalk play. Probably Piscotty too, only because
it's going to come to the Holiday and Piscotty for a lot of people, I think. I don't know where the masses are going
to
go, though.
Well, you don't have to pay for pitching with Smyly. So, even it doesn't matter who you pay and play in pitching, like even with Moore, you're not paying anything more than $9,500. So on FanDuel, so you're not going to struggle to get the salaries in at all. I can see definitely, those four guys. Like just the three outfielders and then Jerko, I think that's a fine way to go in cash games. I don't think you have to do it. There are a couple other interesting plays, but that is seems like a, just a ton of safety for those right-handed bats, yep. Assuming they keep that lineup the same. They have kind of jostled things around during the season, so it's a little hard to know exactly what they're going to do, though I'm not worried about having the information. After the Cardinals, is there another team that sticks out to you, or is it sort of just, you know, player by player?
The Cardinals are far and away my favorite, but if another team does, it probably is the Indians. I know I talked about Santiago, but, I mean, he has like 10% upside, so 10% of the time I think he has a good game here. The other 90% of the time, I think the Indians get to him. So I like Rajai Davis a lot. I don't think I love the stack, but I like Davis. I like Napoli. I like Santana, guys like that. And after the Cardinals, I'm kind of just going to be piecing in one by one who I like the most at each position.
Yeah, Davis should be hitting leadoff against the lefty. He's significantly better against lefties for his career. So he has for real upside against Santiago. Lindor probably ends up being the shortstop play for cash games just because you can fit his salary pretty easily. I'm not exactly sure what the Indians will do with their lineup. Like, I know they sometimes hit Santana leadoff, but then I don't think they will against the lefty. So even Kipnis in a lefty-lefty matchup here I think is fine just because their run line is so high. Napoli's interesting. The Indians just have a lot of interesting guys, and they're an offense that's pretty deep all the way down. So I'm not – it's funny because – I've said this before. They really don't have like a offensive superstar, but they just run you. They run you deep all the way down the lineup. Now they have Guyer. That's gonna give
Santiago. Yeah, I just saw that. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, they're gonna give Santiago trouble down the lower part of the lineup with, you know, that lefty righty matchup. So the Indians. It's probably I suspect when we get to the end of it, it's for me mostly Indians and Cardinals. And for cash games, that's a lot of the safety. Now my question here is, for at least for FanDuel, I'm looking at it. It's not so much for DraftKings because of the price. Miggy and Martinez against Quintana. What is it, are the prices low enough that you can play them against one of the better pitchers in the slate, or is it a stay away?
Yeah, I think so. I don't like Quintana. Every time I play him, does horrible. So I know a lot of people love him. Not me. I think the righty Tiger bats are perfectly fine in tournaments. He is obviously one of the best pitchers on this slate.
Right.
So it's not someone you really want to attack, but V-Mart and Miggy, and it looks like JD Martinez is back, so
yeah,
those guys have as much upside as anyone against Quintana. He's whatever.
Yeah, Quintana, you look at the ERA and you think, oh, 2.89 ERA, this guy's elite. The X FIP is 4. So
it's just like Kyle Hendricks. Everyone's like, oh, he has the third best in the league. Yeah, well,
he's an average pitcher. He's good. Yep. Like, he's above average, but not so, he's not in that like Cy Young.
He's not where you avoid Miggy.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you avoid Miggy at this price, and that's really what it is. He's Cabrera's 3,600, Martinez is 3,100. Cabrera's more platoon neutral for his career, but Victor Martinez is definitely better against lefties, even as a switch hitter. So our system's going to hone in on talent in that price zone more than matchup. So that's really where I think you're going to end up looking at Cabrera. I don't think it makes me feel great, like. So, okay, let me ask you this question then. Maybe this is a better way to put it. On FanDuel, do you play Cabrera at 3,600 or Napoli at 3,700?
I play Napoli.
Really? Interesting. Yep. I think I probably play Cabrera because of the pedigree. So it's but the fact that it's even close is the difference in matchup, right? Like, they're not close in terms of talent, but no. Napoli gets the better matchup against Santiago.
So, I also think he might be a little bit lower owned, which is probably why I say that.
Who's he? Napoli?
Napoli, yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I mean, well, for cash games, you would play Napoli over Miggy?
Actually, yeah, I would.
Hmm. Yeah,
I think so. Just because I think the Indians as a whole produce, and I don't really think the Tigers as a whole produce. I think one or two guys might do well, but I don't really see them running through the lineup.
Yeah, that's the problem when you face a better pitcher. I mean, look, it can happen to any pitcher. Some, like Tom Kohler looked great against the Cubs for a decent amount yesterday, to my chagrin. But so it's any pitcher can sort of turn it on for a game or at least for five innings. It can be frustrating if you've rostered a lot of those guys against them. It seems more likely that Quintana is better than Santiago, and that's really what we're looking at. Like, who's more likely to be better? Anyone can be good. But there's just a likelihood of being good is what changed on a day-to-day basis. So I think I'm interested to see the lineups. I'm interested to see how the teams shake out. I suspect it's very much what we've projected here in terms of things, but some of these teams get, it's an afternoon game. They get cute because they want to give a guy a rest after a night game the night before. So you're not locked into some of these lineups, but we'll have it all ahead of time. All right, let's talk about this night slate, this evening slate. I'll give you my, if I could replay my off-air reaction to the night slate, my reaction was, ugh. And I think that pretty much sums it up. And I think we would agree it's because of the pitching here. Would you say that you said it was one of the worst you've seen. Are you standing by that?
Yes.
Yeah. All the good pitchers have pitched the last couple days, which has made the pitching decisions difficult going the other direction. Now we get what happens when, you know, stuff flows downstream. This is where it all collects. And this is what we're looking at in terms of the night slate. We have guys like Pomeranz, who I'm no huge fan of, Eovaldi, Nolasco. We have Maeda, who's good, but he's pitching in Coors. And then, those are the good guys. Those are the guys that are not horrible. I guess J-Hap, what are we looking at in terms of this evening slate for pitching?
Pomeranz, and I'm very happy we have him, because if it was like Eduardo Rodriguez, I would not be playing. So we have Pomeranz, who is actually one of my favorite pitchers, has a 275 wOBA against lefties, 265 against righties. He's been really good. The big problem that he's run into recently is with Boston, just Fenway. I mean, the pitcher's got to get used to that with the Green Monster. So he's going out to Safeco Field. It's a huge upgrade. It really comes down to Drew Pomeranz, and then when you look at the rest of the list. But even on a slate with good pitching, I still would have some exposure to him in tournaments.
He's not a huge
favorite. In this one, it's cash in tournaments.
He's not a huge favorite coming in. So that is my one concern to start, is that he's facing Ariel Miranda. So it's not like he...
Yeah. But I guess, I mean, nobody is, right?
No. Correct. No, right. There's nobody that's there's no like minus 200 here.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, I would think that I would have just thought that the money line on the Red Sox would be higher for the win, because I'm not a huge Pomeranz fan, but he's definitely an upgrade over what they did have, like you said, Clay Buchholz and Eduardo Rodriguez and Sean O'Sullivan's of the world, who are beyond replacement. So but Aaron Miranda is not he's fine, but he's just not like a stud pitcher. I just would have thought that the money line would be higher in Pomeranz's favor than minus 140 to open. But that being said, I think you're right. I think you have to take his just talent in the park and probably the opponent and play him in cash games really without thinking about it.
Yep, I agree with that wholeheartedly.
After him, now we're looking DraftKings starting pitcher two. We're looking, I guess, if we're going to pivot away from him at any point, who are the other – just walk me through a couple of the other pitching options. Don't worry about making strong cases for them. I don't think that you need to – I don't think there are strong cases to be made for a lot of these guys. But who are some other guys that we could even consider, especially in DraftKings where we have to roster another arm?
I guess it's J-Hap. He's been one of my favorite pitchers to actually target over the last year, but he's turned it around this season, kind of like Sabathia, I guess, and been really good. The Astros are a team that can strike out a ton. They're not great against lefties, 24th in the league in the wOBA. So really, like you said, there's no strong case, but he can strike out guys occasionally. The Houston Astros aren't very good against lefties, and I don't think he at all runs away with a clean slate, but I think he has a better game than 80% of these other guys.
Yeah, I think so. He's probably, again, like he's in that talent, the talent-wise, probably up there. He's very expensive on DraftKings, which is the problem with him. It's really hard for me to imagine paying 11-6 for J-Hap. That seems, against a Houston team that is pretty righty-heavy down the lineup, between Springer, Correa, Altuve, even Evan Gattis in the middle of the lineup. It just doesn't – I think on DraftKings, your upside is really limited with him in there, because I just don't think I can do it. I don't think I can play him. It's just not a good enough matchup for that price. That price is way out of bounds for him. So like, if this was a normal slate, we wouldn't even be talking about him at 11-6. It's a joke. The only reason we're even mentioning it is because there's so few options. I think what I would do as of right now is likely pay down for one of these other sort of losery guys and just sort of hope for the best, maybe in Coors, like a Ricky Nolasco. He's not good, but he's less than half the price of Hap. So he's 5,600. And the A's right now, you know, they lost. They don't have Reddick anymore. They don't have a ton of lefty bats. You know, they'll hit switch hitters like Crisp and Lowry at the top of the lineup. I guess they have Vogt. Most of the rest of their, at least power, comes from the right-hand side of the plate with Davis, Valencia, Semien. So I think, I can't believe I'm making a Ricky Nolasco case here. But although if you look at it, one thing, so Nolasco, so let me just do a quick Nolasco versus Pomerantz comparison here. Take this with the spirit that it's intended. I'm not really making a case for them as like being comparable talents, but
yeah.
if you look at sort of how Vegas is the game broken down for Nolasco, he's coming in at a minus 140, which is the same as Pomerantz. They're both minus 140s. The run line for the A's is 4. The run line for the Mariners is 4, or they're both 3.9 something. I mean, that's strikingly similar for a guy who is half the price. Does that make sense? Like that line of thinking at least? So again, I'm not making a case for them in terms of comps or in terms of talent comps. They're clearly not. But there's some other mitigating factors that suggest that their situations are similar and Nolasco is cheap. I guess that's the case I'm making for them.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. I think realistically what I'm going to end up doing is playing on FanDuel only and just riding or dying with Pomeranz because I don't feel okay with anyone else.
Right.
Realistically, I guess, you know, in some large field tournaments, I don't mind guys like Nolasco, Happ, maybe Vogelsong, because I think he's going to get the win. But, yeah, I think Pomeranz is just the guy I'm just going to have a ton of exposure to.
And here's the other thing, too, about DFS. Like, nobody forces us to play these slates. Like, you're not you didn't sign a contract with FanDuel and DraftKings saying, I promise I'm going to play all these slates, come hell or high water. And one thing that makes sense in DFS is to take a look at the landscape and just decide, is this where my resources are best allocated? Is this a slate that I want to? Do I want to have the same amount of buy-in on this slate as a slate with like Clayton Kershaw and some good value bats? Do you know what I mean? Like, which is a better safety measure in terms of my bankroll? And because we aren't forced to play, I do think it's good process to take a look at things and say, nah, maybe not tonight, right? Like, maybe this just isn't the night, and it's okay, and I'll just go have dinner with my family, or I'll just watch a TV show, and I just don't need to sweat out a baseball lineup for a night, because this just strikes me as the night that I could be very, very frustrated very quickly.
Yeah, and I think it's, because when you have lineups out there, you're looking at everything very subjectively.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you join, you know, maybe a $1 tournament, just throw in an entry, and look at the leaderboard at the end of the night, and just kind of go through the game, see what happened objectively instead of being biased and being pissed off at some guys and happy with others, and just look at things objectively. Something I like to do after a night that I don't really play much.
Yeah, like it's right. So it's like the process is, you know, spend time playing and spend time improving. And that was like the old poker mantra, and it holds here too. It's like, okay, I can play and it makes sense, but I also just need to spend time improving. And if you have what you have as a bankroll. And so this is how I usually end up looking at it. If I feel the need to hedge or a lot, like if I'm looking at cash games and saying, ooh, you know, I'll have a little bit of if I'll have some Pomerantz, but then I don't feel great about that. Maybe I'll have some Nolasco. Ooh, but what if someone has J-Hap, you know? So if you start finding yourself saying things like that, it's not the decisions that are difficult. It's your bankroll that's difficult. Because if you're playing a dollar amount that you feel fine with, you wouldn't hedge at all. You would just say, this is the dollar amount, I'm fine winning or losing, and I move on. It's when you're playing at an uncomfortable level, it's when you start making negative EV decisions like that because you're worried that you don't have enough of all the possible outcomes that could happen in the world, and then that's really, does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
So I think that's looking at this to start, this is what that night kind of, this is what the evening sort of feels like to me. Let's go through. We won't even do. We're getting pushing up the time at this point. So let's talk a little bit about where maybe some of the bats come in. We're not going to have to unless we pay for Happ. Actually, no, never mind. Even if you do pay for Happ, FanDuel, you're not worried about it on DraftKings. Like I said, I wouldn't recommend paying close to $12,000 for him. So I'm not even going to start there. So we're going to be in a situation where we can roster just about anybody, I think. Are there a game or games that you're targeting here? We have some interesting parks, at least Baltimore, New York, and of course Colorado, where the ball flies out. Where are you looking tonight?
Yeah, I think I will have 4 Pirates in every single lineup.
Okay.
And I'm going to just take that and live or die with that.
That is not what I thought you were going to say. Okay, so now I'm gonna, now I went to take a sip of my coffee, thinking I was like, thinking I knew what you were going to say, and now you just threw something at me that I wasn't prepared for. So I'm going to put that coffee down and then actually just start paying attention. So walk me through the pirate love here.
Tyrell Jenkins is atrocious. He's the worst. I don't know why he's out of single A, mm-hmm. let alone triple A. He's given up a 390 wOBA to righties, 373 to lefties, crazy hard contact rates. A home run to fly ball rate looks normal. So I don't know any way that he gets out of this game without getting destroyed. The Pirates hit righties well. Kong is better against righties. Polanco is better against righties. Jaso is better against righties. Marte is better against righties.
They might have Joyce in the middle of the lineup again. They played him last night. They could throw him in there again against the righty.
Yeah, and Starling Marte has been pretty bad this year. But when you look at his numbers, he has a 378 wOBA against righties. He has a 37.5 hard contact rate, has an 8% home run to fly ball rate. So he's going to improve. He has home runs in back-to-back games, maybe three.
Yeah, I'm with you. And they have McCutchen. I just looked at the note real quick. McCutchen is definitely sitting this whole series against the Braves, so it will be Joyce in the middle of the lineup. There's a lot of value there. That was not. I guess I thought you were just going to go right to Coors. And yeah. That's why I sort of wasn't totally prepared for the Pirates love. But the case you make is fine. It's great. It makes a ton of sense. That's a great matchup. The run line is not quite at what LA is right now, but that's also price reflective too. Those guys are the Pirates players are just much cheaper than the Dodger guys today. Can you stomach paying up for the Dodgers though against a guy like Chatwood? The Dodgers have the highest implied run total right now on the day. Is that a place you can also fill in the rest of your cash games with?
Yeah, I think those are my favorite two teams. I think the Pirates are my favorite, and then the Dodgers right after that. And it can kind of work well because you have, position-wise, when you're double stacking, mm-hmm. Utley at second base, there's no one really on the Pirates at second that you love.
Yep.
Shortstop, no one really on the Pirates besides Adam Frazier if he becomes, the leadoff man. So it kind of works. You can have Polanco and Marte, and then you can throw in the Reddick. It just kind of works perfectly, so that's probably where I'm going to go, yeah.
Yeah, I think I like that line of thinking, and I like, like you said, when the positions don't overlap, it just hands you a lot of just opportunities to make solid lineups. We pretty much know what the Dodger lineup looks like when they face righties. They go Utley, Seager, they have Gonzalez in the middle of the lineup. So, I mean, they have Reddick there. They have a lot of lefty. The lefty bats can really give Chatwood problems today, I would say. So those are the two teams I'm really focused on. A couple other guys just to throw out there. Trout is still coming in much too low. 4,200 on FanDuel is just—it's a ridiculous price for him. I say it every day. I don't know why. Even 5,100 on DraftKings. The guy is the best in the league, and he faces Jesse Hahn, who's not anyone we need to be concerned about. But 4,200 for the best, basically the best fantasy hitter in the league, in Trout—that's all day, every day. I don't even think twice about it on FanDuel. I think you just have to play him. Are you with me in that line of thinking with him?
Yeah, and Hahn likes to live in the bottom of the zone, which is not going to end well with Trout because that's all he can really hit. Not discounting him, but that's where he likes to hit.
On a night where you're just not going to have to pay up for pitching, I just don't understand. And it's not even Trout. So I understand. I almost promised myself I wouldn't mention Bryce Harper today. The Nationals aren't playing today, so I was like, you know what? There's no reason to bring up Bryce Harper because I just don't have to do it, but I'm going to say it anyway. So it's not even like with Harper where he has some off games so you wonder about the price.
Yeah.
Trout basically puts up points in every single game, right?
He's like a bad pitcher.
That's a great point. His line looks like a pitcher that just kind of goes out there and pitches four innings, which you take all the time from your bats. He just scores every single game. He takes walks, he steals bases, although he hasn't really stolen a lot lately. And he has the power, but the big thing, he just gets on base. They walk him a ton, and at 4,200, that's the easiest cash game play ever for me. I'm not worried about that at all. And then you can fill out the rest of your lineup with the Dodgers and the Pirates of the world. Anyone else that I'm sort of missing, like some one-off guys from any other teams, or is that kind of just where you're mainly focused today?
Yeah, I think there's a couple, one-off guys. McCann at catcher I really like against Cologne. Mm-hmm. Cologne throws that fastball. I like A-Rod if he's in there. Hits the slow fastball well. And then other than that, I could see, the Orioles game as a 9.5 over-under. Both of those teams, you can really target anyone. They're just – anyone can hit a home run in that whole lineup on both sides. Beltran's on the Rangers, so that's pretty interesting. We'll see how their lineup goes. But, yeah, I think we really hit the – important parts.
Yeah, I think so too. And I was just looking at the Indians. This is so early today. The Indians did just post their lineups. Davis is hitting leadoff. Yeah, it looks like the normal, or it looks like how we had it projected going in with Davis hitting leadoff. So I think it's like one of those days, right? Pitching is tough. You're not forced to play these slates. If you don't feel good about it, if you don't think Pomerantz is a safe cash game play on the evening slate, just don't play, or just play 50% less or whatever. I just make good decisions. The point here is make good decisions in your DFS process. You're not predisposed to just having to just jam money into the center of the table each night and just kind of hope for the best. All right. That is it for us today. Austin, you have any final words?
Starling Marte.
Nice. I always put you on the spot and you always come up with something. Again, DFSR.com, DailyFantasySportsRankings.com. If you like to type all the letters out, head over to the site, grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab. You get in there, we have projections for every single player that are updated. They're updated in real time as lineups come out, as lines change. And you'll see the changes that come through. You hit the button, it gives you optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, free for 3 days. $29.95 a month after that. NFL coming very, very soon as we have prices already up there. So it's a really, really exciting time of year. That's it for us, and we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow.